Hey everyone, you're listening or watching The Reckless Pursuit, and this week we are tackling part two of our series, and the question is,
what are green flags to look for in a church?
Hey everyone, my name is Cody.
And my name is Elaine.
And this is The Reckless Pursuit. We're continuing our question series about finding good green flags in church and leadership. Last week we talked about what is church and the difference between church, the noun and the verb. So if you are just now tuning into this one, you missed last week's episode. It's only like 13 minutes long. I would recommend switching back over, clicking back, swiping back. Anyway, go find that episode and watch it first.
It lays the groundwork for this episode.
It's foundational.
And the next episode.
Yes. So today we're talking about green flags and what to look for in a noun church. Like I said, if you don't understand what we mean by that, you should probably go listen or watch that previous episode. But in a noun church, not like having church, but what are some green flags? Really, you could even phrase this as what are some green flags to look for in a community of like-minded people, right? It doesn't necessarily just have to be like that. I'm digressing, but what are some green flags? You got any coming off the top of your head?
My first thing is, I've talked about this on the show before, but it's been a while.
That's like our constant mantra.
I know,
when
right?
You've had 3 years of content.
And you're in a second season. Anyway, so I've talked about this before, about how I view the difference between being like-minded and like-hearted.
Yeah.
Just laying that distinction.
Distinction. A distinction. We don't edit these anymore.
Nope. Distinction. To me, like-minded can be like consolidated and single-mindedness and can fall into bias and all of that. It can be negative to me. But my revelation is being like-hearted is that you can mentally agree or disagree on things as long as your heart's in the right place.
Sure.
So I believe that finding green flags in a healthy church is finding people who are like-hearted, not necessarily finding people who are like-minded, because everyone has different experiences, everyone is going through different things, everyone has different beliefs, opinions, pasts, whatever. And to me, the green flag is finding, despite our differences, we can come together.
Wow, that is a loud plane. Carry on.
Despite our differences, we can come together because our hearts are set on each other. Our hearts are set on Jesus. Our hearts are set on community. And maybe your heart isn't set on Jesus because of your experience. But regardless, you are able to be open-minded to other people. And just because someone else's truth isn't true for you, that's okay. Like, you can accept people as they are and be authentic and have genuine relationships.
We just had a genuine moment for those who aren't watching and are listening, where we did this like little heart thing with our hands, like for the camera. I'm not gonna get it again. Okay, there we go. It's like, I'm sorry if I derailed you, but it like it
you did,
made me
but that's
giggle.
Okay.
It was joyful. That was a moment, a Christ-like moment right there. We had a connection.
Maybe.
Other than the fact that we're like married and
yeah.
stuff, but
anyway, I guess I got off the topic.
No, you did it. You actually. I'm sorry.
I was
I'm
trying
the
to keep the train
gosh.
Going.
You did fantastic.
And
you did fantastic.
Went off the rails.
No, I didn't go off. Yeah, I went off the rails, but because I saw another trail.
You were
to
singing
go down.
Green lights.
Okay, so I love what you said, and it's because I have my own little like thing to add to that, right? And so, I think that some green lights to look for in a church is that openness to accept other people's beliefs. And I think that by accepting, what I mean is you're coming and understanding that like you're all there for the same purpose. And this is building off of what you said, but you don't necessarily have to agree on every little thing. So we've talked about this before, but specifically the Old Testament, but you could argue even the New Testament, are written in a way that are open for interpretation. That's the whole idea behind like that style of writing. And we've done, once again, there's entire episodes about that very thing. But the Bible is meant to meet you where you're at the word of God is meant to meet you where you're at. It's not meant to be final in every way, except for a few key moments, one of which is where Christ himself said, love God, love people, right? And so you love the spirit, you love the self, you are culminating that existence. And then if you agree or disagree on heaven and hell and like the afterlife and I don't know what this week's offering should go toward, that doesn't really matter. So a green flag would be, and this gets into the leadership conversation. I was almost going to say contest. It's not a contest. Well, it shouldn't be. It is. But so I think that looking for leadership that is looking for people in general who don't think they have all the answers, right? If you are like parlaying that you know all the things that you don't know, one of my absolute favorite things, and it's probably from Proverbs, or it could be an old Chinese proverb, I don't remember where I read it, but it's the wise man asks more questions than he has answers. And so to me, looking for a healthy green flag is a group of people that aren't afraid to ask and aren't afraid, even more so than not afraid to ask, is not afraid to not know the answer. Because as humans, that's a scary thing, not knowing an answer, and to be okay with that, to the best of our ability, mind you, and be open to that, I think is beautiful. And then to be able to offer whenever it's desired, to be able to offer input, but also not force that input, I think is a great green flag for community. What else were you saying? Like, just recap real quick what you said, because I had another point and then I got distracted.
The difference between being like-minded and like-hearted and coming together for a purpose, being open-minded to other people's beliefs and experiences, and...
Okay, so here's that. A few other key things. They were, like I said, talking about mound church, like, you know, steeple, like the whole nine yards. Weird analogy. I don't get why we call it nine yards. I've read that somewhere. So you go, you're looking for a new church. You're looking for a new community to integrate to, right? Maybe you're looking at a more traditional church. Maybe you're looking at a house church. Maybe you're looking at just a group to get coffee with, whatever it is. So a few things, specifically talking about like a more institutionalized church. Are they open with where they're putting their money? I think that that's a very important thing, because if you are a nonprofit and your money is going to line big pastors' pockets, that's not a good thing. And I think pastors should make a living if that is their full-time job. I am not saying that. I am not one of those people that believe that like ministry officials should like squander and have nothing. I am more of the mentality now, having been on that side, having drawn a paycheck full-time from the church and now having like business and doing our own thing. I do think that it is better just all the way around and like easier, kind of like, Paul who built tents. Was it Paul who built tents? Is that right? Or was it Peter? Anyway, whichever one built tents for a living and then also did ministry, I think that like that's helpful. That being said, you know, I'm not saying you can't have nice things in a church. I'm just saying, look where your money's going. It reminds me of a very large church right off the interstate that we pass by pretty frequently that has just like, I mean, built some of the biggest, most elaborate. I've been in there before, even though they shunned me when I went in because you can't wear the type of attire I was wearing, which institutes like shorts and your hair can't touch your ears there. So that probably gives away a little bit of what these people are. But I went in there and they were talking about all the great things that they had built. And they had like this giant like angel statue hanging from the stage, and it was like auditorium seating and fancy lighting and stuff, which is really weird for this sect of institutionalized religion, mind you. Like, that's not something you normally see. You traditionally think of these types of belief systems more like primitive church, and I don't say that insultingly, but you think of more like country churches and stuff. But they have like this very elaborate build-up. And they do a lot. And in order to be a member of the church, you have to supply your W-2s or your yearly income so they can tithe you 10%. And that money, it kind of goes just to build the church. I mean, from all intents and purposes, that's what it looks like. So, you know, I think a green flag for a church would be proper use of their tithe? Are they helping people? You know, are they helping? And it doesn't, like, they don't have to have a third, like a flourishing homeless ministry, but like, are they helping people? And not just like,
are they helping off their own congregation?
Yeah. Like, you know, is that money hoarded or is it properly distributed? You know, I think of like early Acts church where everyone took their incomes and put it together and then freely gave to those in need. Right. And that's a scary concept, even to me in my Western way of thinking. Like, I'm like, no, I built this for myself. How dare. But like, is there that reciprocity, right? Like that the Lord has blessed, if you want to like get super like traditionally, you know, spiritual, woo, God has blessed me. Right. But like also we're the hands and feet of Christ. So are we blessing, you know, God has blessed me is a beautiful idea. But if you're not mutually willing to help, like it's kind of, and sometimes it's not even a financial thing. It could be a time thing. It could be, you know, where's the energy? How available are people that are supposedly leading this whole thing? Like, are they locked behind a door like a celebrity or are they open and available? Like, what is that? So that would be a green flag, is like availability, an actual community feeling. Do you feel like you're walking into a mega production?
Does it feel sterile or stagnant?
Right.
Or off-putting?
Yeah. Or does it feel like life? Do you feel like you're walking into...
Does it feel like a family?
Right. Are you walking into a waiting room or are you walking like a hospital waiting room? Are you walking into a, I don't know, like a family get together? Like, how does it feel? And not even the artificial, like, make sure, you know, the stuff where it's like, make sure the door greeter hugs you. Like, is there some authenticity? You know, yeah. We've been to a church, personally, where they approached us. They wanted to get to know us. After about four times of us going, they decided that they wanted to get to know us. And then as soon as they heard my past experience in church, being what I did, right, what I could offer, they were very interested in us. And then they just kind of quit talking to us once we didn't show interest in serving in that way. And so, like, is it a give to get, or is it a like mutual sharing? I think it's a big green light in a church. And looking for that community you can trust, because if you can't trust them spiritually, like, that's probably not a good avenue to go down. And the last thing I want to add, and then I'll open it up to you, then we can close this out, is there needs to be some diversity to your church. And when I say diversity, I mean diversity. I understand certain communities may have lower populations of certain ethnic backgrounds. I am not saying you can't go to a church that is predominantly one like race or color. I'm not trying to say that. But I am saying that like anyone should be able to walk into there and feel welcome. Maybe not at home, because let's just be honest, there are differences in the way, you know, I do not expect someone from, I don't know, Turkey to come here and me and know exactly, you know, their blend of, you know, both Asian and European like ideals. I do not expect, or I guess I should say anyway, you guys get what I'm saying. Sorry, my geography, but I don't expect me to go to a church in Uganda. Let's just talk on popular missionary map place, right? And me to understand all of their cultural beliefs, like, but they should still feel welcome even in their like lack of comfort, right? So that should be a thing. But that being said, there should be diversity. And if you're in a place where there's not a lot of diversity in that way, there should be diversity in the way people believe. There needs to be, and that goes back to opening of people's like ideas and stuff. There needs to be diversity in how each of us interpret things, and that needs to be welcomed. And if there's not that level of diversity, then that's probably more authoritarian and probably not as welcome for your questions, which means your growth isn't as welcome. Have anything else you want to add?
I feel like the biggest green flag is, and this is going to sound really woo-woo, but a lot of you will know what I mean. When you walk into a room, you can feel the aura. Like, you can feel the presence of, is this
the Holy Spirit
going to what you were saying? Is this welcoming or not? And you have that feeling, and you never want to be somewhere where you're not wanted.
Yeah.
And you can feel that.
Yeah.
What, any place, not just church, noun, that's anywhere. But specifically a green flag for a church is you can open the door and it feels like a safe place, even if you don't know the people, or it feels like a welcoming place, even if you've never said anything to anybody, that you can sit down in a chair or stand, if it's an all standing room, whatever it is, you can walk into the door and feel a positive presence about it.
I agree with that. It's kind of the, you can go, you know, whichever one of these adages works better for you, but spiritual discernment, trust your gut. Like, we have that ability. It's innate within us. You know,
how do you feel when you walk into a room?
Right. It can seem like the perfect thing. But that doesn't necessarily mean it is, you know, like not everything that glitter or everything that glitters isn't gold, I guess, is like the
and
old
I
country
don't
song.
Necessarily mean that if you walk in, you immediately feel anxious or stressed a little bit, because I feel like that's going to happen, especially if you're going into somewhere, anywhere for the first time and you don't know anybody. There is going to be a little bit of anxiety. There may be a little bit of stress, and that is okay.
And it is also... was this going too long? It is also a bit of your responsibility to, you know, you cannot be a brick wall and expect someone to be able to reach out to you as well. So you have to know and be able to balance to share a little bit of yourself to feel the water, right? If you're going to feel how cold a lake is, you have to dip your toe in. And so I don't want you to feel like you can just like stare at the lake and be like, oh, that's cold. Sometimes you can. Sometimes the lake is frozen over. You can stare at it and say, wow, that's a cold lake. I probably shouldn't jump in there.
I would highly encourage you to try it out.
Right. Well, if you don't see those major flags.
If you don't immediately see green or red flags, either way, if you don't immediately know how you feel, test it.
Yeah.
That's what the Bible says. God asks us to test him and scripture.
Yeah. Cool. I think we're going to conclude with that one because we need to wrap this one up. Next week concludes this 3-week adventure down this rabbit hole of green flags. So we talked about what to look for in a church today. We talked about green flags for finding a new noun church. Next week's the fun one. We're going to be talking about green flags to find pastors, or what is spiritual authority.
And leadership, mentorship, all the fun things.
Yeah. Okay, everyone, you know the drill. We want to hear your questions. Find us over at Nomads, a safe community for Christians. Ask unsafe questions over on the book. We're probably going to be moving that somewhere or opening that up somewhere else as well. But for right now, we're on the book. We're also, you can DM us on Instagram _TRP podcast or on TikTok, our favorite platform. And it's just The Reckless Pursuit. And as always, be brave,
be bold,
and be reckless. We'll talk soon.